Thank you, Pastor. It's a joy to be here this morning, and thank you for opening up your pulpit for us to be able to share what God is doing and what our and be able to share about our ministry. And it's, as I said, it's a privilege to be here. Before I forget, we do have some prayer cards out there. I encourage you to pick them up. We cannot do it without prayer. We cannot live life without prayer. And so we need as many prayer warriors behind us as possible. And so we encourage you to pick one up, pray for us. While we're home for itineration, we've been home for about 2 months, already traveled about 8,000 miles, and we still have about 10 to 12 months of traveling to do. And so just pray for God's hand of protection about us as we go. We do have three daughters. And one of them is with us today. Another one, I think she visited last year, our oldest, Kylie. Some of you might have met her. She's at SAGU, going to college. Carly, who is with us, she's at JBU, nursing career. And then our youngest, she's 16, Caitlin. She did not come along with us because she's tired of traveling, and we have a long week of traveling next week. And she's in school, and she has to have internet, and it's kind of hard to get internet on the road. And she's doing some dual credits as well. And so, just pick up a prayer card. He's never failed us. He's never will. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's no respecter of persons. Before I do forget, I do want to say thank you. Thank you so much for your giving this last Christmas and for giving to our families. Excuse me. For giving to our family and for just personally to be able to make Christmas a little easier and stuff. It is expensive overseas. It's expensive in Chile. Put it that way. A gallon of milk is $10. A single jalapeno pepper is about 75 cents to a dollar. Eggs are $6 a dozen at least, and I could go on. Gas is $5 a gallon. You take the price here and you double it at least, if not triple it, then that's about what we pay for a lot of things. And so, but thank you for your giving. And right now we have a video. We show a video, just a little bit of the work, and share. Okay, we'll work on that. We'll go ahead and share. We have been in Chile for the last 4 years, and we are working on a children's ministry center building yet, and it's been in the process for the property was bought in 2006, and so it's been a long process. There's been earthquakes. We have to build it to earthquake code, so there's a lot of rebar steel, if you're familiar with construction. So there's a lot of that going in. We had bucket brigades to pour. There's no cement trucks coming and pumping it in. We had some teams come in. We did it by buckets, mixed it in the cement mixers, wheelbarrow at a time, wheelbarrowed over to the balcony area, have people on scaffolding and bucking it up. That's where we were pretty well at that stage whenever we arrived about 4 years ago. And so in the past 12 years, there's been an 8.0 earthquake. There's been 9.0 earthquakes and stuff. Chileans do not consider it an earthquake unless it is above a 7. Otherwise, they're just sitting in their house, and the rest, the 6.2s, they're just tremors. There's nothing to them. And so they say whenever you see a Chilean get up and start towards the door, you better be right behind them or in front of them. And so because, you know, there's going to be a bad one. And so, but God has, we have felt a few. They have been tremors. We haven't really felt any earthquakes, maybe one or two, but we felt some pretty good tremors. And so do we have it working now? Okay, here we go. That is the gist of what is happening. I go from where we were living. I would take public transportation about three times a week to go there, maybe sometimes four or five if we had teams and stuff. And my time in the metro, subway, bus, walking, in total in the day would be 3.5 to 4 hours round trip. And so there's a lot of time in public transportation. If you took it by car, it depended on the time of the day, it would be around, you can make it in about 40 minutes to an hour. It just depends. So there's a lot of just getting up and going, a lot of time on the metro, packed in like sardines. And that's not a good time to be whenever you've been working all day and hot and sweaty and along with some other ones. So, but God has been faithful and helped us through that. We can show the slides. The slide is a lot of Chile is a very hard country to reach. It is there's Catholicism, and the graph I have here shows about 67% is Catholicism, 16% Protestant, 11% none. They're agnostic. They don't believe in any thing that. If it happens, it happens, and it's just because no God is involved in whether anything happens good or not, and 6% others. So we have Muslims, we have Seventh-day Adventists, we have Jehovah Witness, we have Buddhists. There's all different types of religion over there. And you know that is also included in some of those are also included in the Protestant. It's not just evangelical. But the Catholicism is declining. But it's because it's kind of corrupt a little bit. But it's not going to the process. They're more falling into the agnostic that there's not a God. There's not a God that's involved. And so we've even had some doctors and stuff. We went to the doctor and stuff. They asked us, what are we doing there? They are not opposed to missionaries. But they said, what are you doing here? We said, well, we're missionaries. And we're helping build. Well, what are you doing here? Peru needs you. Somebody else, a poor country, because Santiago was very modernized. It is, there is modern buildings, and there is a lot of transportation and everything. So they don't consider them a poor country. They're very prideful. So they're very hard to reach. And so even though the percentage in Catholicism is falling, it's rising in the nun and others, and not in the evangelical, and believing in the Word of God. We go to the next one. This is the multi-purpose room. We are in three phases. We're getting ready to go into the second phase. The first phase is about 80% complete. And we were putting the roof on. Whenever we got the roof on, we were happy. We celebrated. We were thought, whenever I stepped on grounds 4 years ago, said this is not possible to have a roof on in 2 or 3 years. And it was on within a year. And so God has blessed and brought teams in to help in the finances. Next slide. This is the inside. They pour a rough floor. You can hardly walk on it. And so they're on the left side. And then on the, that's whenever we had the roof on. And December of 2017, we was able to have our first service in that area. Now, to construction, we're not really not allowed to have a lot of children activities. And so right now, the children activities are put on hold. This ministry has been going on for 20 plus years by other missionaries that we have partnered along to help build this project. And they have ran 250 to 300 kids on a weekly basis, busing them in from the neighborhoods and everything. But because of construction, we are under radar. We cannot do anything. We can have events every once in a while, but nothing on a regular basis. And so we're taking this time, trying to get this done as fast as we can, but also teaching and training the adults and the people that are in the church to be prepared so they have the right materials in hand to teach the children once we get everything up and functioning. The next slide. This on the left is the what it looked like whenever I came, 4 years ago from the outside. And on the right is where we are at now. You see that scaffolding is built on OSHA-proof platform. Yeah. And that's about three scaffolding high. that the Chilean workers get on, and I have not been on there, and I will not go on there. If you bring a team, if you're not afraid of heights and you want to be up there and clean the brick, we can put you up there with the harness instead. But everything is great. The next slide is the kitchen. Right before we came home in June, we got this as the second floor with the kitchen cafeteria where we'll be feeding the children. And we put in a drop ceiling and got it all painted. And it made a big difference. It was like a total different room. And so it was like there's tile on the kitchen, and we're getting ready to do something on the kitchen, on the cafeteria floor. The windows have been installed since we've been home in the last 2 months. And so that is coming along as well. The next slide, this is the locker bathrooms. This is the bottom level. And so there's still a lot of work to be done there to get all the toilets and sinks and everything completed in there, sheetrock, electrical, water pipes, and everything ran in there. The next slide. Here are some things that I would like for you to agree with us in prayer and finance. For us to return, this is what we have to have in order to make it over the next 4 years. We are there for 4 years, come home for a year or so, and raise support, reconnect. And so we need like $275 in new monthly commitments every month between now and the next July. $275 this month, next month. If we do not get it, then that goes up. Next month I'll readjust. And so we have had a few, a little bit come in, a new monthly support, but not a whole lot. And so this is what keeps us. This is what sustains us. This is what we depend on, is monthly support coming in on a monthly basis. Secondly, we have about $2,000 in weekly cash offerings that we have to raise to just provide for our airline tickets and for everything for us to get back. Then we have a BGMC account. This is separate. The first two items are something that is a definite for us to get approval to go back in the year. These other three things is just things that we are in addition, and I can give you information on how to give to those. If you want, about $9,000 in BGMC projects, which will supply all the kitchen appliances and everything that's needed in that, and then additional funds for construction project. I cannot quite see or read back there. So additional construction project funds. And this is to help us because we have four national workers that work on a weekly basis, daily, as they're on the project. But we need funds to buy materials and to keep them busy and to keep them working, and for me to be there as well to provide and to just lead and guide and supervise and to do the work that what I can do as well. And then if you're interested to come to Chile and being a hands-on and being part of that, I welcome you to get a team together. It does not matter, guys, ladies, mix, it don't matter. You can come. We invite you to come, and we can set up a time and for you to come, and I can give you more information on that as well. But so that is the basic of what is happening. I'm going back on October 4th here in just about 3 or 4 weeks. I have an Oklahoma team that is going, and I'm needing to be there to host them. And so I'm flying back on October 4th to Chile to be there with them for a week. And we are going to start tearing down the old building that we were meeting in so we can start the second phase of the school, which is a school, elementary school for 450 kids. So we got to tear down the old building to start the foundational work and everything. And so then the third phase, it will be a 20-car parking garage and a soccer field on top of it. Now, we own the whole property, the whole block, but the property is rather narrow, but there's about 40 feet difference between street levels. And so the first phase, the kitchen and the locker room, is built back up into the hillside, and a lot of concrete and stuff was there. And so that's where we're at. I project another 4 or 5 years and a building with the funds and teams and stuff coming in to help us. And so just be in prayer with us about that, that God will send the funds, that He will send the workers to help that. Just 4 or 5 people on the job, you do not get a lot done. And so whenever we have a team come, that when we make leaps and bounds in the project. If you would want to turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 10, share just a little bit here. But while you're turning there, let me share with you how the property was even bought. The missionaries we're working with and the pastor, he was here, the missionary was here on furlough out in Colorado, and his wife is Chilean. And she went back to take care of her parents. Her father was sick at the time, and he has passed away since then. But she was there, and they came across, because beforehand they were just renting different places and holding children's events in different areas of Santiago, where the ministry is at. And they came across this piece of property that said it was for sale. And so she contacted the owner, and the owner says, yes, it's for sale, but I have a buyer. It's for sale for $370,000. It was about what it averaged out to. And she goes, well, what do you want to buy the property for? She says, well, I wanted to do Children's Ministry Center, Children's Ministry Outreach here. He says, I like that thought. He says, actually, the buyer has not signed papers yet, but we're about to sign papers, and he has the full amount, $370,000, ready to give. All we need to do is sign the papers, but he's wanted for a man house, because there's access on both sides just to run kids through and not to minister to them. He says, I really want it to be a children's ministry center more than a man house. And he says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give it to you for half price. He said, but how much money do you have to put down? She says, nothing. Well, how much can you have in tomorrow or something? None. Now, the owner is also a Muslim, and so that's kind of a miracle in itself as well. And so he says, okay, so I'll start renting it to you for $500 a month as of today for the next 6 months. And if you can have the money by the end of 6 months, then it's yours. And says, we'll see what your God can do. But she said, we'll have it. He goes, well, we'll see what your God will do. Well, in 6 months, they had the money, as you see, because we're building on there. And so God is faithful, and He's not bankrupt, and He's not going bankrupt. And we may struggle with finances and stuff at times, but God never struggles, and He has it all in control. And so maybe a very familiar passage, but let me share for just a few moments here. Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 13. Mark chapter 10, verse 13, says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. We turn to Matthew chapter 19 and read of the same account, but said a little differently. Matthew 19, starting with verse 13, it says, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, "Suffer the little children, and forbid them not, for to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we have to share. Lord, I pray that you just use me. Lord, I pray that you just fill my mouth with the words that you would have to say. And Lord, I pray that you just bless this people. In Jesus' name, amen. Growing up in church, I've heard this many times and read it many times. But whenever I was reading over it again and being involved, children's ministry has been our heart, to reach the children. Did we ever think that it would be done by doing construction? No, I never thought that that would be the case. But God has somehow in his plan and his timing guided our footsteps to where this is where we're at. After the building is done, where do we go? What do we do? I'm not sure. It's in God's hands, but our heart is for the children. We are wanting to train and to teach people of Chile the importance, because there's a lot of churches there that they do not have children's ministries. They have the tools, they have the people, but a lot of the in the churches we're building now, and we have a sister church that's about an hour and a half south of Santiago. The adults are babes. They're babes in Christ. They don't know a lot, truthfully. They have not grown up in church. We went there every week on a weekly basis, all of us as a family, for a year and a half until we were just drained, because we were going 7 days a week. Me going to work, the girls going to school, preparing on Saturday, translating it from English to Spanish and trying to find all the Spanish materials and stuff, games and different things for the kids online. And whenever we were in Rancagua, it's the name of the city south of Santiago, we were there to help and just to be alongside them and to help the adults. But because they did not really know anything about the Bible, they wasn't sure what to teach. They just let the kids just do whatever they wanted to do sometimes. And so our girls and Kim, they started preparing, and the adults started letting them do the teaching instead of them just being there to help. And before long, they said, "Oh, the snow girls are doing good." It wasn't long, then the adults, they quit being faithful. And then our kids, we were the ones responsible. It's tiring. It's stressful. When it's not your first language and you're learning the Spanish, and it's like, "Lord, I don't know if I can go this next Sunday." But it was like, "Okay, God, one more time. We'll make it." And there was some Sundays, or all Sundays, we were glad that we would went. But there's a few Sundays on the way back, because it's an hour and a half trip there. It was an all-day thing, once again, on a Sunday. One of the girls would make mention, like, "Oh, I'm glad we went. Did you know the kids didn't even know anything about the 7 days of creation? They didn't even know about Noah and the ark, Daniel and the lion's den." I said, "Mom, Dad, we take this for granted." And it's not the only thing about the kids not knowing it. The adults, the teachers, did not know how to teach it. The teachers did not know these stories. This is how Chile is. Chile is a very liberal country. Homosexuality is legal. They start teaching the kids at 3 and 4 years old, whenever they're there, they can be whatever gender they want to be. They make the choice. They decide. And that is the type of, that is the people, the children that we're trying to raise. A lot of say, "Well, why the children? They don't understand." Or that's where we change our future generation. Children are important. They should be important to us. They are important to Jesus. This passage that I read, we can see how they... Now, the disciples, they were like, hold up. Just stop everything. Let Jesus is teaching here. They was probably trying to be quiet where Jesus didn't hear them. But Jesus seen that they were turning them away. He said, hold up. They're important. I'll stop everything I'm doing in order for the kids to come to me. How important are they to us? Even sometimes our family, even sometimes my kids, when they come to me, how often do we say, just wait just a moment, I'm talking to somebody right now, and I'll get back with you. And we go on and we forget about what they wanted. But Jesus, he says, hold up, bring them here. Suffer the children to come unto me. Don't keep them away. Yes, in Mark, in the previous verses, we read that Jesus talked about marriage and divorce, which is something that the kids don't even understand. And the disciples were probably telling the parents and the people that were bringing the kids to him, said, stop. Jesus is teaching on an important matter here. The adults need to listen, so kids just back off. And so how often do we think that what we're doing is more important than reaching out to our children, to the children of the world, because they've grown up in a drug addict home, an alcoholic home? They're not clean. They may smell. They may not be the type of child that we really want to give a hug to. But yet, Jesus took the time. If Jesus took the time to minister to them, how much important is it for the church to minister to them? The children are our future generation, or our future pastors. They're our future leaders. And if we do not pour into them, the world is just going to keep on going downhill. Church doors will start being closed because we have not invested in our children. I can see that Jesus just said, okay, just stop everything. Nothing's more important. And he actually rebuked the disciples. We can read in Luke's gospel where he says he also brought infants. They also brought infants unto Jesus. So it wasn't necessarily just children just walking up to Jesus, but it was the parents saying, I want my child to be touched by Jesus. I want my child to be blessed. Some of it might have been for personal, for just saying, look, I'm getting close to Jesus, or whatever the case may be. But Jesus said, like, no, bring them all. And I can see, even while he was teaching about marriage and divorce, that some children had made their way, regardless, and slipped away from their parents' hand, or got past the disciples whenever the disciples were getting onto this other group, and they slip around on this side and just sat at the feet of Jesus. And the disciples finally just said, okay. And Jesus said, oh, stop. He rebuked them and said, time out. Come here, children. Bring them all here. And Scripture does not tell us how long he took. No record of how much time, whether it was 5 minutes or 5 hours, or what time of the day it was and how long it went on. But he says that he laid hands on each one of them. Don't know how many children were there, but he had, whether there was 50 or there was 500, he took the time and he prayed. He didn't just lay hands on them. I don't believe he just laid hands on them, bless you, bless you, bless you, and just hurried on through. He gave each one of them a hug and put them each on his lap and put each of them in his arms and embraced them. He says, you are important. I love you. You have a purpose in life. And he prayed with each one of them, because time did not matter to him. He wanted the children to know that they were important to him. We need to let the children know how important they are to the kingdom of God, to the church, to the ministry, no matter where it is, whether it's in Chile, whether it's here in Salem Springs, whether it's in Oklahoma, no matter what state you're in or what country, we got to reach our children for the gospel of them. And they're our heart. They're our future. Without them, without us pouring into them, what's our future going to be? Sometimes you just got to restir that in our hearts. Saying, God, I don't care how they're dressed. I don't care what kind of home they come from. They need love. The children are searching for something. They're searching for something. And if the church don't have it, and the church don't reach out, we don't reach out as Christians, the world will. And they'll offer them everything else that they don't even need. They'll try to offer them some peace, but they're not going to have the peace of God. They'll keep on looking and searching and going deeper into sin. So my challenge is, don't forget our children. Don't forget your neighbor's children. And don't forget those that are around you that we come in contact with. Don't be too busy to minister to the children. May God bless you. Thank you once again, Pastor. Sorry about that. Thank you. I want to thank you for the offering, and may God bless you. I'm going to ask Carly if from there to share a testimony and just to testify to say something.
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be here. It's actually a miracle that I am here, able to study at John Brown University. Through a crazy turn of events, God just provided sufficient funds for me to be able to attend there because education is not cheap. I am studying nursing. God called me to that in second grade. I was unsure of what I was supposed to do with that, but through being a missionary kid, during our first term, our language tutor saw that I picked up on the language really well, and she's like, oh, you should study Mandarin. Yeah, that's what we thought too. And so after a while, when we noticed that I could tell the difference between different character languages, we were like, we should probably do something about this. And so very steadily, through my parents' ministry, God laid missions on my heart as well. And so now I know that God has prepared me, has been preparing me my entire life to be a missionary and to serve others by serving their physical needs. And I believe that is why God has placed me here at John Brown University, where they teach head, heart, and hands, so that you can minister to the spiritual and the emotional as well as the physical. So I know that God knew what he was doing when he called my parents into the ministry, because even though at times we feel as a family, God, what are we doing? God has been preparing my sisters and I for what he would have us to do. So thank you for all you do for my family. It really means a lot.
Let me say, just bear with me here a moment. I can brag on all three of our girls in different ways. But we like to go into the mountains and hike a little bit and do camping. We love camping and different things. But we went on a hike. There's a lot of hiking trails there in Chile. And we went to hike, and Carly is not one to really like to hike, but we took her along anyway. And it was rather rough terrain, but sometimes you just got to keep going. You got to put one foot in another in front of the other one. You cannot stop or you will slide. You got to keep the pace up. Carly would just kind of lag behind, and she, I can't do it. Daddy, help me. I said, I would love to help you, but if I stop, there's not room for you to be by my side and to hold on to my arm. And I cannot necessarily, or I'll lose balance. You just got to keep one foot in front of the other and just come on. Well, we made it to the top, and then on the way back down, we finally made it. But on the way down, there was a lady that had broken an ankle or twisted, and they had put her, made a sketcher out of the hiking poles. And I was helping, we were close to the bottom, so it was a little wider, but there's about six of us guys or people that's trying to carry this lady down the rest of the way because there's no way to get a vehicle up or helicopter or anything. So we were trying to get her, and so we had to take a break and had to put her down. Carly is our language person. She tells us when we make mistakes. She tells us how to interpret. She translates for us if we're in a hard situation. And while I was back, she bends down and starts praying with her in Spanish. So that's where it's not only head knowledge, heart from God to be able to reach with your hands. Brother, I don't know what happened with the lady for sure, but I pray that God use Carly's prayer, her love, even though she did not like hiking, that it would somehow reach her heart and that her heart was touched. We may never know till eternity, but it's through things like that. And I believe God's going to amazingly use each one of our girls, and He has a special call for all of us.